When I was born, grandmama could see it. I be Bentley driven and very strategic. RM sleeve, no diamonds are needed. Floors are heated, so be it, so be it. P, get something to meet you. Your soul don't like your body, we help you free it. Then we wait for TMZ to leak it. It ain't no secret, so be it, so be it.
Welcome to the Tobin and Leroy Show. Final hour of the Tobin and Leroy Show in the year. Final hour of Silly Sauce, ladies and gentlemen. We continue to give you the coverage of the Cotton Bowl. We've done it all today. Played a little bit of trivia. We discussed the Winter Classic and the Florida Panthers. We had some Canes talk. Not sure if you're able to hear one of the segments that we had replayed there, Appel, but if the Miami Hurricanes are successful today and successful next week as well, make it to the national championship, I have an opportunity to attend the national championship. Problem is, I also have a wedding that I had already RSVP'd to of one of my cousins, my first cousin. If it was you, you're in the same situation, minus the baby. Let's leave the baby out of it for this one. What are you doing there? Favorite team, national championship at home, or first cousin wedding?
Okay, so this is not the exact same, but my now sister-in-law got married the night that the Panthers clinched the Eastern Conference against the Rangers and moved to the Stanley Cup Final. I guess the comparison would be if they were getting married the night of Game 7 against the Oilers, you know, what's the play there? How close are you to this cousin?
Like, blood-wise, we're close. It is my mother's brother's son. As far as relationship-wise, you know, I can't tell you how often we've hung out before. He's also not a sports fan, so it's not like he'd see and understand what's going on here. And I love him, but if I had to pick my list of cousins that I'd like to hang out with, he'd be towards the bottom, if I'm being honest.
And it's going to be played on January 19th.
On a Monday, they're getting married. Appel.
Okay, out. You're going to the
match. Oh,
that changes everything. I was thinking to myself, the game's usually on a Monday at like 9 o'clock, and everybody complains about it every year.
Yeah.
Appel.
It's in Orlando, by the way.
By the way, Appel, you know the wedding's on Martin Luther King's celebrated holiday, birthday.
I mean, now we got a double one.
Come on. Come on now. I'm sure this was nowhere in his dream.
A caller yesterday said that, you know, on the day of Martin Luther King's birthday, this guy's risking his freedom.
Come on.
He's throwing it all away.
If you're not in the wedding.
Nope. I am not.
And this is not someone that you are
close to,
like, talk to all the time. Or that
But I am going to hear about it, though, Bill. I'll tell you what, this is definitely something I'm going to hear about.
Here's the move. You give whatever you were going to give gift-wise and double it.
Double it. All right.
At least. I know it's going to be a bit of an expensive day because you'll have to buy tickets to the game as well.
No, tickets for
free.
He's credentialed. He'll be credentialed.
Credential.
Even better. Better. See, I had to pick up three pens. That's how fired up I am.
That's good.
I think that you double or triple the wedding gift. Like, maybe say, all right, well, what would I have paid for tickets if I was going like that? And then you just add that on to what you were originally going to gift them. Now, will your family, like your immediate family, like you or your wife, will anybody be represented at the wedding if you go to the game?
I don't think my wife is going to want to go to Orlando with a toddler for her
cousin-in-law's
wedding.
No.
So now, essentially, this is my original thing. I have to pay for the plate that both her and I would have received, as well as my wedding gift, as well as a little bit of gratuity for pulling out, you know, what essentially would be about a week before the wedding.
Yeah, I think that you say something to the effect of, hey, something came up with the wife and kid. I don't think it's really in the cards for us to be able to bring the kid up there.
Josh, I really think he just has to say, look, I can't get out of work.
work. Okay.
Like, who's going to totally cook? Regardless, though, if you don't end up going, you have to, as you said, double pay up for the plates in addition to your regular gift, and then, like, add on to it after that.
Hurricanes better win if that happens, by the way.
That's the thing. That's important.
Because if not, you're going to be the guy at the wedding, at the reception, that's glued to your phone the whole time watching the game.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, and like, not only is it a national championship opportunity, national championship at home?
Yeah.
In come on. This is, you want to talk about once in a lifetime. And then, oh, you only get married once in a lifetime. Not really.
You know,
not
really. You know what's the day after, right?
What's the day after? January 20th?
Mm-hmm.
120?
Flat's birthday. No. Flat's Monday.
Okay. I was like, is this another game?
No, it's not another game. So you know who would love to celebrate his ring and his birthday with his favorite college team winning a national title, literally down the street from the crib? Yeah. Yeah.
When I tell you that tailgate. And then the opportunities. I know that, you know, obviously I do work with QAM and they're going to have me there, but only in Dade is probably going to have me do some stuff, which means I'm going to be making some money.
That's too. What I'm saying, fam. You got to, like, listen, you also have a family. You also have a family as well, Marcos.
Hey, but you guys are making this easier for me.
So Marcos, you also have a family as well. And you need to provide for that family.
I do.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
As Vlad knows, tonight's the biggest Canes game in 20 years. So let's get past tonight.
Correct. Task it in. That's what we decided.
So
we cannot be looking ahead.
If this is the biggest game in 20 years, what happens if they win tonight and move on to the semifinals?
Biggest game in 20 years since this one.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, man, the stakes keep rising, man. I don't make rules.
Because I'm going to listen to the game tonight, and this is why I'm making fun of it. Joseph Gackie was saying during the A&M game, this is the most important third down of the game. And it was like 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I'm like, yo, this is a close game. There's going to be multiple most important third downs coming down the stretch. And then he repeated it like 4 minutes later. And then repeated it.
He was never wrong.
He was never right either. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, guys, if they continue, this every game is going to be the most important game since the last game.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, our final thoughts, our final predictions on the Miami Hurricanes versus that team in Ohio, I think. When we come back, we are going to give you, again, final thoughts, final predictions, and then we will end the show with a Tobin and Leroy breakdown, and that's going to lead into Hockman and Crowder and more Canes coverage. So stick around if you're a Hurricanes fan, if you're a fan of Ohio State. Stop spying on us, losers. All right, got more Tobin and Leroy when we come back.
Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. It's been an interesting day indeed. Smooth show, thanks to our boy Vlad on the board, controlling and operating like a smooth operator. And Josh Appel providing the insights we all desire.
Yeah.
On a New Year's Eve here.
You got a good baby boy there, pal.
Yeah.
I just heard him wailing downstairs a moment ago.
It was on mute.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it doesn't count for us.
Yeah.
That's what I always see, though. Everyone's like, oh, you got such a sweet boy. And I'm like, he's a terrorist. The other day, he rubbed poop on his face like a Native American. It was bad.
Mm.
It was bad. Yeah. The true story.
Damn.
Anyway,
who does he like in today's game? Since he's an expert pick winner,
that is a definitely a good point. He lost my Miami Hurricanes helmet one day after I bought it, but nonetheless, I will say that that's a sign that he thinks that the Miami Hurricanes will continue to win because there's no need for him to pick because he threw away the damn helmet.
Okay,
but
he has them in their final destination.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm going to brainwash him to become a Hurricanes fan. I'm going to give you my final score. We've talked ad nauseum, and you will have a 4.5-hour pregame show in which they will continue to give you all the insights you need. But I will say the Miami Hurricanes will be victorious tonight against the Ohio State Buckeyes, 24-17. That is what I'm going. I know they are 9.5 points underdogs at the moment. I'm not sure what the over-under is. I'll take a look at that real quick. But I do think the Miami Hurricanes have what it takes to come out victorious today. I think one thing that travels is a run game and a solid offensive line. I think the fact that we are not playing in cold weather, and like Vlad mentioned, you know, the Ohio State Buckeyes haven't necessarily played up to standards recently. What's been like a month since their last game?
They haven't played against another opponent in a month.
Yeah, so with that being said, I do feel as if this is the opportunity for us to take that final step forward. So I got them at 24-17. And in the meantime, I'm going to look at the over-under, and I'm going to ask you, Josh, what is your final score, final thoughts?
All right. We know that Carter Davis in the kicking game had a tough week and a tough game against Texas A&M. He hit a big kick, though, eventually in that game. But I think this is another low-scoring game. I think the UM defense shows up. I think Fletcher and Tony have another good game on offense. I'm not sure they're going to be a lot of big plays. I think one or two explosives end up deciding it. I'm going to go Miami 16 and the Buckeyes 13. Low scoring.
Ooh.
Rock fight. Battle in the trenches. And I think the Canes win outright 16-13.
All right. The over-under is set at 40.5, by the way. So I was going over with mine, right? 24-17 is 41, right? And you have it severely under there.
Yeah.
With, 29. Vlad, you got the over, you got the under?
Nah, I think I got the under because I said this. I mean, I'm just going to keep it consistent. I think I've said have the Canes winning 23-14 or 23-17 to that effect. So if the over-under is 40.5, then I have it under. I think it's going to take Ohio State some time to get going, and I really believe if UM jumps on them early, it's going to put a lot of stress on Saiyan, and I think he can get a little bit rattled if he has to – because they haven't really played from behind at all year. And the first time they were in, and I said this the other day, most games that they went against a quality opponent, it's always close games. Texas, first week of the season. Mind you, Texas wasn't that great. They were hyped, but come to find out, they were overly hyped. But as bad as Arch Manning played, it still was a one-possession game. So it wasn't like Ohio State destroyed Texas. And then the second game, which was the last game they played, that they faced a quality opponent. You saw what Indiana did. You know, nobody would have ever thought Indiana had a defense like that. It was all about the offense and everything, and the Heisman Trophy winner. That defense Indiana has is pretty good. I think Miami's defense is better than Indiana's defense. So So if Indiana did that to Ohio State, I'm going to go with the team that I believe have the better players and the better scheme and the better, just the overall better unit. I'm going to go with them. And I think Carson Beck's is going to play an efficient game. He's going to be a game manager that's going to make the throws that he needs to get the ball to the weapons that he needs to in order to continue drives. I have them, 23-14.
Solid. I mean, can't complain there. Real quick before we get out of here, by the way, if you're joining us for Canes coverage, Tobin and Leroy will give you a breakdown in the next segment of the Hurricanes versus Ohio State. MVP, guys. Who is going to be the MVP when it's all said and done? Josh, I'll start with you.
Tony.
It Malachi Tony.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to Reuben Bain.
I was going to go Reuben Bain.
I'm taking the two best players on the team.
You know what? Since you took the two best players, Josh, I'm going to go with Mr. Fletcher.
Yeah, that's solid.
Hey,
that's
listen, perfect. How that's awesome perfect. Was he against the Aggies?
I think so, and I think he'll be awesome again against the Buckeyes tonight.
You know what? I'm going to do a wild card here. I'm going to say Keontae Scott. And say two interceptions for Scott. And, you know, they have arguably the best wide receiving core in college football. So if we're able to slow that down, that would be kudos to him. All right. When we come back, Tobin and Leroy will break down Ohio State and the Hurricanes.
Guys,
like
have
only
a,
they can.
Marcos, Josh, have a great New Year. Yes. You know
Happy
what I'm
New
saying?
Year,
Happy New Year to all to you all. Happy New Happy Year, New Year to all our listeners on the radio, on YouTube, Twitch, however you can hear us, however you find us. We appreciate you guys. Have a blessed Happy New Year. Final segment of the year. It's only right.
Segment.
It's only right you get Tobin and Leroy to give you the final segment of the year.
Come on, man. We do it right here.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, right. Let's go, Canes. Talk to you next year.
Welcome
back,
everybody.
Bled.
What are you doing,
Bled.
Dude?
What happened now?
I'm going to let the music play out. This needs to be said.
What needs to be said?
So, we watching the video.
Of?
Nigeria, the them getting
Anthony Joshua
out of the car.
Oh, okay.
Now, he get out of the car.
Okay.
They snatching him up out of the car, like guys in suits. With, like, he don't look he looks banged up, but he ain't got no nothing wrong with his body.
Okay.
Right? He gets out of the car, man. Man, he looks, you know, like, why is he only got shorts on? And whatever. Tobin looks over and goes, ooh, look, a D-Wade fan.
Why, you saw Dwayne Wade? Well,
yeah. He was yelling at me because he's like, you have no cooth. And I'm like, look at everybody around. Nobody there has cooth.
Wait,
they're all
they got. Look, some of them don't have shoes. Some of them don't have shirts on. I guess the medical staff is suited and booted, right? But they all got cell phones.
They all got they got cell
phones. This guy cell phone pictures.
This guy has a nicer D-Wade jersey than I've ever had. And he's just sitting there all like watching Anthony Joshua get out of there. Nobody's trying to help
him. Nobody's trying to help him.
Nobody's trying
to help him. Dude, it looked bad.
Yeah.
Like, the car looked
two people perished.
Yeah.
The car looked smashed all the way until where he was sitting.
It's crazy. Yeah, he got very, very he got lucky that he walked away. Obviously, these individuals did not, because the truck they hit, it was like one of those massive storage trucks.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if it wasn't moving or what. According to reports, it was stationary, so I don't know what the hell was going on there.
Somebody was speeding, maybe?
I don't know.
But you ever been to Jamaica?
Yeah.
That's how they drive.
Oh, I know. I'm from you know, Haiti. I know how they drive. It's, listen.
I remember going to Bahamas one time, and a dude was bringing us from the airport, and he said, "Nah, man, you don't have to stop if nobody's around."
Oh, Jesus.
That's the rules? Oh, man.
But the fact that we looking at it, I'm like, son, oh, man, I feel bad for the people, and I hope he's okay, man, because he looked like he was struggling to get out of the car. Oh, look, a D-Wade fan.
Yeah. Just stood out. You don't see a Heat jersey in Nigeria all the time.
Wait. Miami Vice.
No, it was a throwback.
It was a throwback?
It was a throwback.
Okay.
It was like one of those 90s Heat jerseys, but it was D-Wade on it. Like, you know, when the Heat wear those for the throwbacks.
Oh, man. I'm like, are you, like.
Schmeithen says, oh, yeah, Kane's play in 2 days. Someone should tell these idiots. We'll get to it, Schmeithen.
Like, dude, what is this?
You
know what I love?
You
know what I love? Because, like, if we were to talk 4 hours on the Canes, no lie, Schmeithen be the first one to say, hey, jackasses,
hey,
there were other sports.
Yeah, we get it.
We get it. Kane's playing 2 days.
2 days. Why don't you talk about Joker being in town tonight? I don't think Schmeithen loves the Canes, so I think he's. I got to be honest with you. The thing that I've been I found a little bit stunning is
spread.
Oh yeah, I'm honestly not that surprised.
It's falling.
I'm
not falling.
I'm not that surprised. I expected Ohio State to be a big favorite. I'm surprised Ohio State. A lot of chatter, and I'm like, didn't you guys learn from Texas A&M? Like the receipts were hot and heavy after that game, and I felt like I think Texas A&M did the same thing where they're like, ACC team coming in here into our barn, we're gonna smoke them, and they did nothing. And I don't know, you're off for a month.
Your most recent
performance was not great.
Was not great.
And the Miami Hurricanes are coming in after a very confidence boosting. And I honestly don't think the Canes played, you know, their best football. I mean, defensively, they played pretty amazing.
Right.
But offensively, you know, I don't think they had everything in motion. I think you saw it, especially from the passing perspective. I mean, Mark Fletcher was a beast. Probably should have gone to him more. I don't know. But I don't know. I saw a lot of the cocky Ohio State players. I'm like, I know some of them are from down here, so maybe that's always a thing, too, where you're just like, you know, they want to make a statement at home. But I don't know, dude.
Here's what I would
say. I know it sounds weird because as a Canes fan growing up, like, they were always the trash-talking team. This team is the receipt-taking team, and then they talk trash after they beat you.
Well, because they haven't won anything in a while. And keep in mind, those teams back then used to win everything.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would say. You will never, ever, ever, probably, as long as you listen to me, hear me say this again. I have a feeling that this game will have more to do with what the coaches do than the players.
Interesting.
Because Ohio State complains about what Ryan Day does, and Miami complains about what the coach down here does. Right? And they've made some mistakes on how they handle things in the past. Mario likes to play close to the vest, and he likes to wear you down. And the two games that they've struggled in have been the games where teams got out to early starts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried about that when the game starts. Like, are you going to be able to withstand the initial surge? Because everybody else sees the same things I see. Get up on them early, and you can win. But Ryan Day, in one of the biggest blunders of the year, and I'm going to keep saying this, you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old kids, right? I want everybody to remember what you're doing, or if you have kids that are 18 to 22 years old. Mentally, how you handle things mentally matters a lot. And I would say this. If Ryan Day had kicked the field goal to tie the game instead of going for it on fourth down, then I'm 100% sure that kicker makes the field goal at the end of the game. Because there's a big difference in saying go out there and win the game and nothing can happen other than winning the game, or going out there and if you miss it, the game's over. Big difference. Keep in mind, you're not dealing with adults. You're dealing with young men who are moving into adulthood. So everything is a little different. For some reason, we treat these guys like they're supposed to be seasoned veterans while forgetting what we were doing when we were 18 to 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Things are still a little skittish mentally. That's just the reality of it. So you always want to keep your team in a good frame of mind. How you keep it? The best thing a coach could do after the way those first three quarters was played was kick that field goal when it was 13-10 and say, we got 15 minutes to win the Big Ten championship. Say that to your team. We're tied. We got 15 minutes. Versus, oh, don't worry, we'll get it back. So, yeah. Both coaches have had some things that.
I'd certainly like a sharper Carson Beck game, too, than we had last time.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Like that yes. I think would be.
Yes. It should be. He should have a big game for this reason. The best thing to have happened for Miami was to go out there and run that ball like that.
Yeah.
Because what do you think? What do you think Ohio State's going to come in here?
They're going to think that
that's going to loosen it up for Malachi. That's going to loosen it up for Carson Beck. Carson Beck might be able to get some good play action down the field. So, I do. You know what? First play of the game. First offensive play of the game. Play action bomb.
Ooh.
Just go.
I mean, that's the best.
Because you know, when everybody's ramped up to stop the run, you put a good play action on them. Got him. Got him.
Yeah, you had Jeremiah Smith, who's from Miami Gardens. And actually just seeing some quotes from
Well, he's from down here. He could talk trash.
Well, yeah, he's actually – I just seen a quote from Media Day that they're doing right now. And he said, if Miami had one more – and played in games like this in his high school career, would he be a Hurricane? He said, yes.
Yeah.
Which is like.
Yeah. Everybody knows that. Wait, nobody went to Alabama when they were losing.
Damn.
But it's true.
Oh, I understand.
You don't have to say it, though.
Why not?
No, he's very honest. Like, he's been saying, why like, not? He said it last week. He's like, everybody's talking about 20 years ago. And I'm like,
no, but,
nobody on the Canes this season. It's all the fans. We're rabid. The announcers are rabid.
I say that same thing. The same thing. What? You talking about some 25 years ago? Some of these kids weren't even born?
Well, they're going to play it in every package in the lead up to this.
Right. It's impossible already been not played. To. I'm surprised the game hasn't been re-aired.
Just like they play the convicts, Catholics versus convicts bit every time Notre Dame-Miami plays, right?
You don't think they're going to do like a sit down with all of the 2002
Jim Tressel and Larry Coker?
You got with the vest. Like, they're not going to have some kind of package of that, because
Yeah, of course. Of course they are. I don't blame them, but was he wrong?
You could get Maurice Claret.
Was he wrong?
What
he said?
Well, it's the fans, though. Who cares? The players. Like, Ruben Fay's not talking about the Fiesta
Bowl.
Was
he wrong? He said everybody talking about. So then why you get mad at him for saying it?
It still hurts.
Of course.
The truth hurts sometimes.
Wait, the truth hurts sometimes, but you can't be mad at him for saying
Who
it.
Who said we're mad? It's just damn. We just could like, say damn.
Nobody
said they were upset. It was just damn. Yeah, you didn't got to say know. It like I'm, that.
Hey, listen,
there had
Vlad,
to be some. There.
Vlad, I'm looking over here at Tobin. He hurt right now.
I am hurt. There had to be. I bet you, Jeremiah's.
Tobin read the corner. He's like, damn.
You don't think Jeremiah
that hurts the heart sometimes?
You don't think Jeremiah Smith has some family member who's a little older? No, but some family member who's a little older. When he got the news, he goes, "Oh, you're going to Ohio State. Very happy for you."
Oh yeah. And well, but here, let's be clear. At the time, where Miami was, do you think even Hurricanes family members who were fans of the Hurricanes were like, okay, they're winning right now.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, everybody wanted to be with a winner.
Yeah.
So,
but also he's not tremendously old, and you have a lot of kids who are, this isn't like it's not like 4 years ago. You have plenty of kids right now, freshman kids from down here who are starring for this Canes team, and so I'm sure there's plenty of paths that have been crossed on it. So it'll be fun. It's gonna add an element to it for sure. But I don't think that I don't think that any of the Canes teams on this team. Mario's gonna like. There's no way he's gonna allow them to talk and to bite into that.
No. Well, listen. There's a couple of guys where business means business on that defensive line, and so you got to know who you're playing against,
mm-hmm.
and. My man is out there, Jeremiah Smith is out there writing, checks that the other side of the ball got to cash, that his old line got to cash.
I just think that
I would be careful. Like, you may be dominant at what you do, but the people inside, they're not as dominant as the other guys on the other side of the ball.
But it's even starting with everybody who's like, I'm tired of hearing about Ruben. Like, all the national pundits who are like, you're not giving respect to Curry on their side. And I'm like, all right.
Are you kidding me?
I'm like, you're not? What? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Everybody has said these words from the second the playoffs started. The most talented team is Ohio State. Nobody has wavered from that.
Right.
So what are you talking about? Yeah, you're not getting credit.
Hey, dude, sorry the Canes have gotten a modicum of, props. They just played. You haven't played in a month. Sorry. And by the way, you can't sit here and be like, oh, Ruben Bain is being overblown. You have all these draft nerds who keep talking about his arm length. I mean, if I hear about that one more time, it's enough already. You're sitting here. This kid had a game for all time against Texas A&M. Where he was a game record. They all said he was not a threat. And you guys are going to do the same thing again? We're going to continue to just dismiss it. Him and Mezidor, they're cute. Okay. All right. That's fine.
Now, I will say this. Being the same age, a lot of these guys did a lot of stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
So they may just be talking trash back and forth.
Perhaps.
You know what I mean? Like, he might be laughing about it or whatever, Because of them being the same age, they've probably crossed paths before. You know, it's kind of like when we said about Cam Ward and Shadur.
Right.
Right? We saw him talking trash, dude, but they were friends.
Did you see some of these throws Cam Ward made? Cam Ward's come alive these last few weeks.
Yeah.
He some of these
running
throws,
for his life.
Oh, I know, but he's like the magic this guy can throw and pull out of his ass is unbelievable.
They've been playing very well towards the second half of the season. I'm happy to see both Shadur and Cam playing well in wins.
I had this conversation before, and I kind of had it earlier. We're looking at what Quinn has done. We're looking at what Shadur has done. Shadur's numbers are not better than Dylan Gabriel's. They're just different, right? He looks different. He does things differently. He is he pushes the ball down the field a little bit more. It looks different. But to the knuckleheads that don't watch the games and understand it, like just understand that we have a better chance to win with Shadur just by how he plays. And they'll say, well, look at the numbers. Dylan Gabriel's numbers are better. He hasn't thrown as many picks. Right? And so it's a weird thing that we just wanted something new or something different to the point where now we're making the same things we had a problem with okay. Mm-hmm. So when I see yours, like, he had a good first half. But if you look at those numbers, they're right in line with Tua's.
Yeah, they weren't great. Right. It wasn't like this monstrous second half. Now right. he had some big throws to put it away.
Now I will say this: he got a little zip.
Yeah, for sure.
And he does throw the ball accurate.
I understand why everybody's like, oh man, it like because Tua looked like he looked broken, and so to see him physically be able to go out there and do things was nice. I'm not floored by it.
Right.
I'm not gonna be sitting here being like this is the guy, but it's not like a shade at Quinn Ewers. Like, yeah, he looked nice. That was a great first half.
Right.
Huge throw in the end zone to convert and give the Dolphins some more space. Like, he had some big moments. He had the conversion where he slotted and face off. So good for the Dolphins. They got themselves.
A weird thing that once you get, once you feel. Once you are against a player,
mm-hmm.
then any player they put in there to replace him, you're going to like.
For sure.
And I think there's a lot of that. And so I didn't know how to even, like, receive that information myself, even watching the Browns. Like, I'm watching the game and – just watching the game and looking at the plays that Shadur makes and how he can make things happen, I feel like I have a better chance to win. And then I look at the numbers and I'm like, they're kind of.
I think you do have a better chance to win. I just think there's a belief in that team with him out there. I do think there's
even
just something
though the,
to it.
And this is the thing.
I think there's something to it.
They're right, but my whole question is, even though the numbers are not better than the last quarterback yet.
Oh, my, he has a lot of interceptions.
Right. Wow. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm not making this up. I am torn. I am torn by this.
He has 10 interceptions already?
Yes.
Who has 10?
Shadur.
A lot of it is not his fault.
No, but Flat. Again, we're doing this. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I was curious because somebody
said, why are we in this position? Why do we do this when we just don't want another guy in there?
I was just curious because somebody said that Cam is that Shadur is better than Cam. And I'm like, I don't know, dude.
No, because here's the thing. I would say this. The thing that I am most impressed with Cam Ward is regardless of what the protection has been, regardless of what he's had to do, he's found a way with the talent that he has to be successful. Now, he might not have to do all that running around next year, but for right now, I'm doing whatever I can to win, and he's improved at it every week after week, so he's where he is now. That's the most impressive thing because, listen, we've seen rookie quarterbacks go through this, and what happens? Done. we've ruined another quarterback.
Yeah, no, he seems like he's starting to come out of the other side with it. He's got 8 touchdowns, 1 pick in his last 4 games.
Right, exactly.
Shador, he's got 4 touchdowns. How many picks? 8. He zings that football, though. Fun.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this.